and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. How are you?
I'm all right. It's an exciting week, isn't it?
Is it?
Yes, it's an exciting week.
But why?
Because it's the week we get the extra day. It's the 29th of February coming up.
It's not that exciting. I've still got to go to work. I mean, it's not that much fun.
Oh, I was going to ask what you're doing with your extra day. I thought you might have something really exciting planned.
Yeah, no. The answer is I'll be a skiv to the man.
I haven't even thought what day it is. When is it?
Well, as of recording, today is Monday the 26th.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I imagine that will make...
about Wednesday, isn't it? Thursday?
Maths is hard, isn't it, Trev? I think you'll find it is Thursday.
Thursday. That's a bad day to have an extra day, isn't it?
Yeah, no one wants an extra day on a Thursday.
I think what they should do, rather than give us just the 29th falling anywhere, they should come up with a new day that they put on. It should be like a bank holiday.
But it should be a bank holiday.
But give it a new name. So every 4 years. Look, I'm not saying it should be this, but let's just call it Trev's Day.
And what have you done to deserve a bank holiday named in your honour?
Well, it could be. It may not just be me. It could be after Sir Trevor McDonald.
Oh, right. For a split second there, I was swelling with pride. I thought you were going to say, well, you know, it doesn't have to be just named after me. It could be Trevor and Ben Day. But no, you went for Trevor McDonald.
No,
it's all about Trevs.
That's what I was saying. It's Trev's Day. So it may not be that. I'm just putting that out there. It could be Ben's Day.
No, it's too close to Wednesday. That'll confuse it.
Isn't it? You see, well, that's it. And then we just... Once every 4 years, that's the day that we have. So it's like, oh, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Trev's Day.
Yeah, well, especially this year, if Ben's Day followed Wednesday, that would cause chaos, wouldn't it?
Oh, it'd be a nightmare. People wouldn't be able to cope with that. It'd be ridiculous. And then you see, because it doesn't really matter, like, if you've got the extra day that effectively Monday's pushed to the next day, because it's just a name, isn't it? It's you're not going to feel out of sync if you've got Trev's Day in between Sunday and Monday, and sort of Trev's Day is actually Monday, and then Monday, it won't matter. So we just have that. I think that'd be a much better way to do it. We have a bank holiday every 4 years, an extra bank holiday, and then no one has to work, and we can all celebrate. I think it's not celebrated enough, the extra day, is what I'm saying.
I feel a little bit sorry for people who are born on the 29th of February, because... They do age. I'm aware of this, but they don't get a proper birthday until like every 4 years. And then the best thing they get out of this shit deal is that they get this crap joke that when they turn 40 years old, they can say, oh, and technically I'm only 10 years old.
Yeah.
And it's the shittest joke, but they all do it. And I feel like...
What do you mean they all do it? How many people have you met that were born on the 29th of February? When you say they all do it, give me some evidence that they all do it.
Well, now you're calling my bluff, because the truth is I don't know anyone born on February the 29th, but I bet they all do it. And I just feel like if you've been gazumped in life that you should get, you know, only one proper actual birthday every 4 years, you deserve a better bit of comedy out of that than just saying, I'm actually only 10 years old.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't it be brilliant if you were born on the 29th of February that you didn't, your aging was slowed by four times?
That would be nice, wouldn't it? Mind you, they'd go on, wouldn't they? They'd be about... and then, see, now we're indulging in this shit joke. Now, they would be about 90, 80, 180... 360 years old would be the average leap year human. Yeah. I mean, if they're lucky enough to live to 90, that is, of course.
Well, that would be all right, wouldn't it? Those are the sort of people that maybe you could have... like, what would you want people with such longevity doing? Like, maybe
sorry,
they could
just anyone who wants a little bit of entertainment, by the way, just rewind the podcast and hear me struggle to do 4 times 9 in my head.
Well, I couldn't work out the difference between the 25th and the 29th earlier, so between us. Rachel Ryan ain't panicking, is she?
No, she's fine.
But maybe those people, like, what could you give those people jobs to do? Like, you want people with longevity to do really important jobs. Like, wouldn't it be good if those were the people that were the monarchs? You know, if somebody could live to that sort of age, as long as they were a decent monarch, I suppose.
Well, that's the problem. If you end up with a tyrant in charge, then you've got like 400 years of them. That's right. Like a terrible idea.
all right, well, maybe not that sort of position, but something like, I don't know, head of the Football Association, something like that.
I don't know. I mean, there's got to be something practically useful for... I don't know. I imagine some sort of advisory board, some sort of head advice man who knows, you know, he sees these crazes, these panics about, you know, take climate change, for example. If you had someone who was 350 years old who could say, actually, from my own 350 years on Earth, this does seem to be getting a bit bloody warm. Or they could say, oh, you know, the weather peaks and troughs all the time. We're going through a warm spell at the moment, but I've seen it all before. Someone with real life living experience, mind you. You can get that from just looking at the history books, can't you, of what the temperature was.
Yeah, but I think if it's from the horse's mouth, I'd say the other good thing that would be so useful, because I think we're in danger now of, World War III is on the horizon. And because human beings are so incredibly fucking stupid, we sort of forget the lessons of history. And because there's not so many people reminding us of it, but if you had those people like in on a special advisory board to the globe who went, well, hang on, in my 350 years, we've seen it all. Just stop it.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is if there's usually money involved, people will ignore these people. So then it's just quite the waste of this mythical human being who lives for 400 years.
No, it is mythical. It's sort of in my mind, it's become a reality.
Yes, we briefly forgot that this isn't possible, and they do age like regular people, but they're just swindled out of a birthday for 75% of their lives.
Yeah, well, they don't really. They could still have a birthday, either on the 1st of March or the 28th of February, couldn't they? I mean, is it better to have it on the 1st of March? I mean, is it unlucky to celebrate it early? Because I always feel I never like opening a birthday card early. You know, if you go and meet someone sort of just before your birthday and they give you a card or a present, I don't like to open those until my birthday.
I know what you mean. It's a bit like tempting fate, isn't it?
Yes.
You celebrate a number you haven't quite achieved yet. So for all those 29th of February people, if you celebrate it on the 28th, well, then you're sort of, like you say, you're tempting fate because you haven't really reached it. Really, have you? So I would just say it's always safer to celebrate after the final whistle than, you know, in the 91st minute with a few seconds to go.
No, I totally agree. So I've been looking at some leap year facts.
Okay, and what have you found?
Superman was born on a leap day.
So can I just clarify, when you say Superman was born on a leap day, do you mean Clark Kent, or do you mean Christopher Reeves, or any various actors who might have portrayed him?
It just says Superman, so I'm assuming it means the character of Superman. I mean, that's assuming that there's a leap year on Krypton.
Yes, that would be a hell of a coincidence.
Because he wasn't born on Earth, was it? I mean, unless it's like his earthly birth, unless that's the day the family found him, you know, when he fell to Earth and the farmer and his missus went and found him. Maybe that was
But it wouldn't matter, would it? It wouldn't matter what day it was on Krypton. If human beings discovered that he had been born, the birth has happened, it doesn't matter what Dave Krypton are calling it, back here on Earth, we'll say, oh, by the way, what day is it? Oh, stone me, it's the 29th. That means Superman was born on a leap day.
But that's assuming we know the dates of Krypton, because they probably don't use the same months and days as us. I mean, if he's... I don't know, how would we work that one out?
I don't know, it's not my problem, is it?
No fucking use. Okay, in Scotland, leap day is considered an unlucky day to be born. If you're born on that day, it's a lifetime of bad luck coming your way. A
lifetime of shit jokes, yeah.
I'd like to speak to someone who was born on the 29th and find out whether their life has been more unlucky than anyone who isn't.
What are you? Are you hoping that one of our many listeners will, you know, someone's bound to have been born on the 29th of February? We can ask one of those lovely people.
Well, it's possible, isn't it? It's possible.
it's statistically unlikely, is all I'm saying.
Of course, the main thing on the 29th is women can propose to men. I think these days we're a bit more forward thinking, aren't we? But you know, in the olden days, that was the thing. Women could propose to men on the leap day.
I might have had it in my mind that was April the 1st. They could do that,
no.
Which seems cruel on the same day of practical jokes.
No, that's February the 29th. That's the day that ladies can traditionally propose to men.
Oh, it seems very outdated in today's woke society couldn't do that now. Women are free to propose just as readily as men.
If you get married in Greece in a leap year, it can be bad luck, apparently. One in five couples in Greece avoid leap years for a marriage.
So
that's the whole year. Not even just the day. It's the whole year. It's like, it's a leap year, not getting married. That's a great way out if you're having second thoughts, isn't it?
I wonder if there's anyone who's ever really embraced the sort of superstition of a wedding day, but really fly it in the face of it. Like, let's get married on Friday the 13th on a leap year under a ladder with a black cat as the vicar. That, you know, let's really go for it.
I doubt anyone's ever done it, but the thing is, like, marriage has got a lot of those superstitions around it, hasn't it? And like things like for good luck, you're supposed to have sort of a chimney sweep, aren't you, at a wedding? And there's the thing about there's something about the chimney sweep at a wedding is good luck, isn't it?
That's where I've been going wrong. That's why my marriage is a mess, because Dick Van Dyke wasn't at the wedding.
Yeah, Roy Walker. I don't think he's a chimney sweep. But no, I think the chimney. I remember when I was in the church choir when I was a little boy, and we used to sing at the weddings a couple of times. They'd have a chimney sweep turn up at the wedding.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what the significance of that is, but that's a bit of good luck. The horseshoe, of course, is a symbol of good luck, often on the bouquet, isn't there? A sort of horseshoe. I don't know why the horseshoe is a symbol of good luck.
I have a horseshoe stuck to my house. I didn't put it there. The previous owners did, and I'm too lazy to remove it. But there is one there.
Well, it might be bad luck to remove it. It's probably bringing you good luck, the horseshoe, so you probably don't want to take that away.
I bet you there's some bollocks, though, about which way round it has to be. Like, knowing me, I've probably got it the unlucky way
out. Well, it has to be. I think it has to look like almost like a U.
Right. I'll need to check this, but I'm skeptical that I've got it the right way
round. So you think it's pointing, like, it's pointing downwards, essentially? Well, that's the wrong way, isn't it? It's got to be. As far as I'm aware, the horseshoe has to be sort of pointing upwards.
Right. So it has to look like the letter U.
I think that's the lucky way. Yeah.
Okay.
I think
I'll check that, because, I mean, imagine if you'd done that and over time. You know, and weathering and storms, yeah. You know, a breeze takes hold and it just dislodges your horseshoe, and then gravity takes hold and then it slides down, and then you've got the letter N, but it's still a horseshoe, and then you've automatically been cursed.
Yeah.
Because of the weather.
Well, that's probably, that's fate, isn't it? Fate will have its say on whether you will be lucky or not.
Hmm. Yes, I feel fate owes me some explanations, I think.
Do you do anything for good luck apart from the horseshoe isn't yours, but I mean, is there anything you carry around? I used to carry things around with me for good luck. I had this little drum that someone brought me back from they'd been to Africa. And I don't know why, but for a while I carried that around. It sort of felt like a symbol of good luck.
Somebody bought you a little drum from Africa?
Yeah.
Do you hear the things you say sometimes?
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
It was like a little, just like a little drum, like a little pocket-sized drum, right? And
what's a pocket-sized drum?
Well, a little drum you can put in your pocket. I mean, what more do you need?
Am I the only one confused by this? Okay, so let's go along for the ride. Somebody bought you a pocket-sized drum from Africa that you carry around for good luck. Okay. Well,
for a little while, I had it at work. I had it in a studio I used to work in, and I had it at work. And it sort of, I thought, oh, you know, this is sort of a little, it's been brought back with love, you know, and so it's a little good luck thing. So it would be in the studio, and I sometimes carry it around in my pocket until, let me just tell you this bit, until one day I went into work and I hadn't carried it around in my pocket, and it suddenly wasn't there. It wasn't on my computer as it had been the day before.
Right. Someone has stolen your pocket-sized African drum.
I wasn't happy.
I can imagine.
I remember sending out an email. So, if anyone's seen my little drum.
sent an email for this.
I'd quite like it back because it's been removed. And I was summoned to the chairman's office, right? And he sat me down and he said, oh, I just need to tell you that yesterday we had a lady in, and she was doing a special, this was a religious place, right? And she was doing a special prayer walk around the office. And she said that she picked up some evil vibes from it, so we threw it out. It's like, what do you
You're
mean?
You're having a laugh.
You threw it out without
That's
even asking
theft.
Me? I don't know. Could you believe it?
No. I mean, well, it's a tricky path to tread because, I mean, obviously, you can't. I mean, if it's a religious organisation, you can't just say to them, well, you're talking bollocks and that's my stuff, give it back. But
well, what I wish I'd said, and you know, it's always those, what do they call it, escalator thoughts or whatever they call it, where you think about it afterwards.
Yes, the spirit of the staircase. It's a French expression.
Yes, yes. The spirit of the staircase. Because afterwards I thought, well, hang on, because this would be like... If you were to flip this, right, and let's say I was at, I don't know, Virgin Radio, right, and someone had the crucifix by their desk, and I just threw it out.
Yeah.
And said, I don't know, I was just getting bad vibes off of that. Like, I'd literally be crucified.
But imagine, surely the decent thing would have been to do... would have said, like, right, that's one of Trev's possessions. We've brought in some someone who's getting bad Mugumbo from, yes, from this.
I mean, she was fucking crazy, this woman. She'd come in once a week and you'd think, oh, Christ, here she is.
So the management then could have said, okay, well, we'll remove that. Well, you know, as soon as you're gone, we'll remove that. And then ignored the crazy loon. Or they could have said to you, Trev, we happen to believe this... insane person, would yes. you mind removing it from the office? But instead they just threw your possessions in the bin.
And it wasn't the only thing. Like, someone else, they had like a little cuddly like dragon by their desk that was chucked out. That was gone.
No.
Yes. It's the most extraordinary thing. I was fucking furious. It took me a little while to come down off of a high horse that I went on to my mates after that. I was ranting for days about it.
You know, I don't know what I'd be hoping to achieve from this lie, but I would lay it on thick. I would really go for it that was a family heirloom passed down from generation to generation from people who survived things you couldn't possibly imagine, the struggles they went through to get this. What might seem like a trinket to you is the most valuable thing my family possess, and I keep it with me at work to inspire me, and you have thrown it away.
There is a lovely ending to this story, though.
What? Go on, because it needs one. This is a horrible story.
Well, because I wasn't the only person who had received a little drum from the person who'd been to Africa. They'd also bought several other people a little drum.
Okay.
When news of my discarded drum went around the office, I was then donated quite a few drums from other people. So in the end, I had about 5 lined up on my computer. So the devil was well and truly alive. Now, Ben, 2 or 3 weeks ago, you carried out a personality test on me.
I did, and I believe the results were, you're an arsehole.
Well, I think it was... I don't think those were the words. I think the words were that I was a control freak.
Yes.
A power mad control freak.
I'm paraphrasing, yeah.
Well, I think it's time to turn the tables, and thank you very much to Claire, who is a regular listener, who has sent me a personality test to carry out on you.
Thank you very much. I relish the opportunity.
Oh, you are scared. Those
I'm terrified.
Are the words of a scared man. So we're going to run through a series of questions and then we will find out what sort of personality you have.
Okay, bring it on. I'm not scared much.
Okay. By the way, this test is to discover your most dominant trait.
Oh, dear.
So we will find out whether perhaps you're a control freak. We shall find out. Okay, you ready for the questions?
You're relishing this, aren't you?
Yeah.
Sweet revenge. Okay, bring it on.
Okay, question number one. These are multiple choice, by the way. You learn you're stranded on an island. What's your first move? find food, find a signal on your mobile phone, get comfortable and go exploring, try to signal for help, or wouldn't ever let it happen to you.
But I mean, to say I wouldn't ever let that happen to me, presumably that's slightly out of my control if I end up stranded on a desert island. I think the go-to answer... No, I've been on planes before, and I'm well aware the pilot's in charge of the plane, not me. So there's a possibility I'll get stranded on a desert island in my life. But I think you're an idiot if your first step is to try and find shelter or food or clothing or whatever. Surely the first thing you do is check your phone for signal, because you've got to because you could skip all of that. If you've got signal, you can phone for help, and then you won't need to find food and shelter. And so, yeah, check your phone signal, obviously.
Okay, but when you, I think if you've got to find a signal, like if you're on a desert island and it means you're going to have to move around the island to find a signal, is that the first thing you would do? Would you not think, oh, perhaps I'll get some food, just so I've got some food, then I can start my journey out and about to then find signal? Or would you just go, shit, I'm going to walk for miles and miles on end until I find a signal?
Well, so I've crash landed on this desert island, survived the plane crash, and I'm miraculously starving instantly. I think I can wander around for a few feet looking for a bit of signal. I'll quickly learn if there is none. Don't worry about it. Phone signal.
All right. Question number two. A snake slithers to your front porch. Do you A, become faster than lightning? Do you B, grab the shovel and show no mercy? C, pick it up. It's probably just a garden snake. Or D, phone emergency services.
I think I would definitely not pick it up. I'm far too much of a coward for that.
Yeah.
I think close the door, lock the door, and then phone a man. So yeah, phone the emergency services.
Wow, do you know, you surprised me. I just saw you as grabbing a shovel and showing no mercy. I just saw you as that sort of guy.
That would be my second choice, but the problem with this is that there's a chance that I'll somehow cock that up. So I think I would prefer to make it somebody else's problem.
Okay. Next question. What animal describes your mood right now? Bird, lion, snake, eagle.
Can I have a bit of context, please?
Well, what mood are you in right now? And what animal describes that mood? That's all the question says. What context do you need?
I would go with owl, then, because at the moment
I'm feeling...
Well,
owl's not there. Bird, lion, snake, eagle.
Oh, I misheard eagle. I'm sorry. okay, well, then let's go with eagle, because... I'm the same as an owl, really. I'm inquisitive. I'm looking around the place. Yeah. I'm not really understanding what's going on, but I'm keeping a bloody good eye on things.
And that's your mood right now.
Yeah, because I'm trying to keep track of you. I'm not willing to attack you just yet, but I'm keeping a bloody good eye on you.
Okay, choose your superpower. Super speed, flying, camouflage, create webs or nests, powerful cape.
Powerful cape.
Powerful
somehow that's
cape.
Different from flying, is it? Having a powerful cape.
What a powerful cape. It could be like a shield, couldn't it? It might be able to take on... Like Batman's cape can have bullets flying at it. It's fine, isn't it? A powerful cape like that.
I think I'm going to go with camouflage. Like the idea of, if I choose, I like the idea of being completely unseen.
Okay, so you just blend into the background. Again,
I mean,
you're
flight
not...
would be quite useful.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm sensing from you very much is this, so far, and I'm not the expert here, we'll let Mr. Internet decide the final title, but what I'm getting from you at the moment is coward.
I'd say it's spot on.
There's a snake you're hiding, you want camouflage, you can hide, everything about you is hiding.
Is the results of this just going to come back wimp? Is that going to be it?
So camouflage, is that your answer?
Yes, please, yeah.
Okay, right. Next question. A stranger throws up next to you on a bus. You A, get away from them as quickly as possible. B, pat their back but refuse to touch their vomit. C, throw up yourself. D, grab the plastic bag for emergencies that you keep in your pocket and offer to help clean up.
I think I would offer a comforting arm. I mean, who on earth in their right mind would just for no reason at all start touching the vomit? How is that helping? I definitely don't carry a spare plastic bag with me. There are times I go to the shops wishing I'd taken a plastic bag. Forget that. I think I would be a bit grossed out, but I think from life experiences, I'm not too bad in a crisis. So I think I would put the comforting arm around them, or whatever the closest answer to that was.
Pat their back.
Yeah.
Just a little pat on the... That's a good answer, because I'd be out of there as quick as lightning, mate. I wouldn't be around there at all. Okay, next one. You're starring in a movie. Where do you fit in? Are you the main character? Are you the bad guy? Are you an extra that doesn't talk? You speak a few times but then become irrelevant? Or are you the hero of the movie?
Well, I'm far too lanky and inconspicuous to be an extra.
Okay.
They don't want people like us, Trev, as extras. We stick out like sore thumbs.
You'll be camouflaged in the background.
We
wouldn't see you.
I think I would... I mean, is it what I'd like to be or what I think I actually would be?
It just says, where do you fit in? Because what I see is, if I've turned on the telly and there's a film and suddenly you're in it, my immediate thought was, he's dead. Do you know what I mean? You'd be the character.
Victim.
He's not lasted long. You'd be that guy that comes up when the kind of main army guy is going, right, you go in first. And you go, well, he's going to get shot. He's dead. That's how I see you in this film.
Now, you see, in my own mind, I'm playing a sort of Alan Rickman type diehard villain.
You're a villain.
It's far too cool, though, isn't it? I think I would be someone who pops up, says a couple of lines, and is never seen again. So let's go with that. I mean, what am I answering here? Is it what I want to be or what I think?
You're starring a movie. Where do you fit in?
Okay, well, if we're going with if this is a test of my ego, I've got to be honest. I'm a super villain, Alan Rickman type genius villain character. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Describe your posture. Are you always slouching? Is it perfect? You try to remember to stand and sit correctly, or you do it in public? You know, you stand up straight in public, you sit up straight when there are people around, or when people aren't around, you're just a slouch.
I am actually quite proud of the fact that I do stand up straight. If you see me slouching, there's probably something wrong with me. But as quite a tall person, I like to embrace my height and
height. Yeah.
Yeah. And assert my physical dominance on other people. So I like to tower over them if possible. So I definitely try and keep a good posture. Yeah.
I was on a bus the other day and I ended up on the bus for a long time and I was standing on the bus. And like you, I think when I'm out and about, I stand quite to attention almost. By the time I got off the bus, I couldn't wait to slouch. It was like, God, I've been standing erect for way too long.
Okay. That was two stories blended in together, wasn't it?
Well, it was a busy bus. Am I saying that your stature is great in public? Is that what we're saying?
I tend to stand up straight if I can help it, yes. I am conscious of my stature and I like to stand up straight.
Okay, right.
Because even though, as we've established, I'm a complete coward, I like to appear physically dominating.
You remind me of an old friend of mine that I went fishing with once. And we were on the riverbank and there were some kids playing, climbing a tree. And one of them fell in the river. And my mate, he was well ahead of me. Like, he started running over. And as he was running, it was like one of those scenes out of a movie. He was ripping his jacket off as he was running towards the water's edge. By the time he got there, someone else had already fished the kid out. Right. When my mate got back to me, I said, oh, mate, that was... got to say, mate, you were quick to act there. And he went, well, I was never going to fucking dive in, but I wanted to look like I was going to do something. that's what I'm getting from you.
Yeah, I think so. I like that he went for all the sort of glory of the, what a brave man, without having to do any of the work.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm sort of going through what equipment we've got, thinking, well, what can I use to help? He's just gone straight into like hero... looking like a hero mode, but not being a hero.
I like that guy.
Okay, next question. Your co-worker receives some disturbing news. Do you A, mind your own business? Do you B, get a bit nosy? Do you email them and ask if there's anything you can do? Or do you just hope everything's okay but don't ask?
Something I've learned about myself that I'm not proud of, but I'm going to be honest, I am a bit of a nosy Parker.
Are you?
I am. So generally, if I get a whiff of a bit of gossip somewhere, I will head to it like a piranha in...
You smell a little bit of blood, do you?
Yeah, if there's a drop in the ocean, I will find it. And, you know, someone spill the tea. What's the gossip? I need to know.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm aware that it's not a very attractive trait in my personality, but I am a gossipy so-and-so. Yeah.
So you'd be nosy. You want to find out what's going on. Because I'm one of these people where if there's a little bit of scandal and it's someone I know, you want to sort of know the ins and outs, but I won't ask. You know, there's a couple of people I know where things have happened in their life, right? And people say to me, well, what happened there then? And I go, I don't know. I said, well, don't you ask? So, well, no, if they want to tell me, they'll tell me, but I'm not prying.
Have you ever thought, though, that if someone's given you that much base information, that they almost want you to ask why?
But when it's an upsetting thing for them, I don't want to sort of bring all that up and say, oh, so, you know, what went wrong? What happened? I don't want to bring it all up. Do you know what I mean?
I tell you a good little phrase to use in this situation is,
okay,
please feel free to tell me to piss off, but... Do you mind if I ask what happened? And then you've given them the out. They yeah. feel like they've got the illusion of control.
Oh, and well, here we go. So I'm just making a note here. Manipulative and a coward. I mean, we don't need the internet to tell you what sort of personality trait you are. I've got it.
And then you get all the juicy goss and you can run home or run back to work and spread it around the office like wildfire. Brilliant.
Okay, I'm ticking be nosy for you on that one.
Thank you.
Okay. Next question. You're on a relay team of four. Where are you at? Are you third? Are you first because you get a good start? Are you second because you can make or break the team? Or are you the anchor? You finish with power.
There's too much responsibility on finishing, because if you get a bloody good start and it's flying round the track and you're the arsehole that fucks it up at the end,
yeah,
that's the one everyone's going to remember.
Yeah.
Also, if you had such a lacklustre start that the following guys never had a chance,
yeah,
people will remember you as the weak link. So I would say I'd like to go second.
Right. Again, so this is almost hiding again, isn't it? This is almost
yes.
hiding within the relay team. You don't really want to be seen. You're second in the... You know, no one's going to really remember what you did unless you drop
precisely.
The fucking baton.
Precisely. You know? unless you fall over your own feet or you drop the baton. So, yeah. So long as you can basically coordinate yourself to run at a certain speed whilst holding a stick,
yeah,
then no one's going to remember the second or third guy. They'll remember the slow start or the shit finish.
Yeah.
So I like other people to be responsible for the problems, not me. So
okay.
I will be the sort of limp middle, but I won't be the problem at the beginning or the end.
Okay, fair. Wow. So no responsibility taken. Cowardly, yep. Manipulative. Okay. Next one. Everyone starts doing the Mexican wave when you're at a sporting event. Do you just sit there? Do you get super pumped up? Do you just get out of there, go to the loo or something? Or do you just get involved and go all hell for leather with the Mexican wave? Because I hate the Mexican wave. If I'm somewhere and it comes, like, you sort of feel you've got to do it, but I always do it a bit half-heartedly. I don't stand right up. I just sort of get up a little bit, and because I just think, oh, fuck off. When you see it coming round, you think, oh, Christ, here it comes.
Well, no one's going to notice. No one's going to be singled out in a Mexican wave, are they, really?
No, but do you feel there's that feeling of being very conspicuous when everyone else is really excited and doing it, and you think, oh, I must, you know, I've got to just show like I'm interested, but I'm not really.
If anyone is going to be singled out, it's going to be the grumpy git who's not really in the spirit of things, who isn't taking part properly. So I think go hell for leather, do it, just so that you're not the one everyone's looking at thinking, well, he didn't join in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and what harm does it do standing up and waving your hands in the air for about 2 seconds? So I would just get on with it.
I tell you what I hate is when you go to if you go to like a concert or something, and the person on stage says, Can we get a Mexican wave going? No. No. Why are you instigating one?
Exactly. It should be a spontaneous thing,
yes.
Surely.
Don't make us do it. And I hate that thing when you're somewhere, not a Mexican wave, but... you know, when you're somewhere and people are all getting up dancing, I've probably mentioned this before, but years ago I ended up going to this gig. I didn't really want to be there. It was an ABBA tribute act. And
how do you end up at these things?
And at the end, like everyone is up. They're all going for it. Like they're having the time of their lives. And I was with a lot of friends and they were all going, come on, Trev. And I was exactly the person you mentioned a while ago, because I'm not getting out of that seat. And luckily there was one other person who was sitting next to me who was also refusing to get involved. But the two of us, we look like the odd ones out, but I'm not getting involved in this. Like I can't lose my inhibitions. I think that's part of the problem. I sort of envy those people who can get up and just lose their inhibitions and dance and sing along. And the whole time I'm there, I'm just thinking, I don't want that to happen. I don't want to be part of that. I don't want to get involved in that. Please let
me see
that.
You're sounding like the introvert here now.
Well, yes, I suppose it's true. It's a bit like when you go to a comedy club, there are those people who like to be down the front. They like to be the ones picked on. I think when I order tickets for any comedy thing where I think there might be any chance of audience interaction, I'm as far back as I can possibly get tickets for. I don't want to be picked on. I don't want to be spoken to. I just want to be left alone.
Yeah, I've noticed that about you. You like to be there, but a distance back where you won't be picked on.
Yes. I went to a stag night at a comedy club once, and because it was a stag night, every comic picked on us as the table to have a go at. So every time we all got picked on, and it was awful. It was one of the worst nights of my life. It was like, Jesus, just leave us alone. Fuck's sake.
I'm surprised you went to that.
When it was a stag night, you can't say no, can you? And what I won't do now with stag do's, let me just tell you that most people I know are all married now. We've done all that. But what I won't do is a whole rigmarole of seven or eight events for a stag do. I'll come out for the evening, I'll have a few drinks, but this whole thing of let's go and do, I don't know, foot golf in the afternoon, then we're going to go and do something else, and then something else. Like, fuck off. Let's just have an evening of a few fucking drinks, shall we?
Yeah, it's one event. It's not multiple. I'm fully on board with that.
Very miserable. So anyway, what we're saying that you're gonna, what did we say? You're gonna get super pumped. You're gonna do the wave non-stop. You're gonna go for it.
I would get involved. Yeah, I'd do it.
Okay. All right. How would your school teachers describe you? Teacher's pet. You slept a lot. You were the bad kid. You don't really remember school. You don't care.
The truth is, I don't really fit into any of that.
Right.
I think the answer would be if he was interested at all, he was a pedantic little shit.
Right.
who used to split hairs, ask a lot of questions, mainly why, when there was no real answer to why of anything.
And was that just to try and waste time in the lesson? Because I think that's a ploy some children take just to... If they keep asking questions, like, we don't have to actually do the thing we're supposed to be doing. If you just keep saying, why is that, sir? Why is that?
No, honestly, no. The real reason was because I was genuinely curious, but... The questions I were asking were deemed as nonsense. So didn't really pay attention because I always was sort of watching the subtext or the subplot of a question.
Okay.
Like when we would study Romeo and Juliet or something in English, rather than asking questions relevant to the plot, I would pick holes in the plot and ask, well, why didn't, you know, surely a much more obvious solution was to do this rather than do the whole murder suicide thing at the end. Or spoiler alert, by the way, for any Romeo and Juliet fans out there.
Just out of interest, how would you have ended Romeo and Juliet? What's the Ben Harmer ending?
Well, I just think they were very swift to, you know, not really check properly for a pulse before the old suicide tablets went in. I don't know. But I think probably was there, but not quite paying enough attention to what was relevant. What's the closest answer we've got to that?
Oh, I don't know. There isn't really one that fits that.
What was after slept through it?
you were the bad kid. But it doesn't sound like you were the bad kid.
I wasn't the bad kid. I was asking the bad questions. But yeah. By bad, I mean the inappropriate, but the wrong questions. Yes, the stupid questions. Thank you. I was trying to sugarcoat it, but so I suppose the bad kid. It's okay. The only answer that fits, I suppose.
All right. Right, final question. You've got to choose a profession out of these. What would you want to do? Social worker, teacher, athletic trainer, firefighter, biologist, or accountant?
I think it would definitely be firefighter.
Firefighter.
Because it's cool, it's sexy.
But it's dangerous. We've already established you're a coward.
Oh, I know. But that wasn't the question.
Okay.
The question wasn't, which profession do you want to do competently? to my ears, it was, which profession do you want to tell people you are?
Oh, you suddenly become a child again.
I'd be very, I'm a fireman. I put out fires for a living. And when it comes down to the actual putting out of the fires, maybe I'll twist my ankle or there's a kink in the hose that needs sorting or something. Yeah,
we're back to sort of taking your jacket off and not diving in the water, aren't we? That's the sort of thing that's happening.
Exactly.
You'd be running towards the fire, but when you get there, basically you're like the guy in The Apprentice. Like if you imagine the firefighting unit is the people from The Apprentice, there's always that dickhead who does nothing, and then at the end goes, I was very busy, I made that phone call, and that'd be you, wouldn't it, when you're doing the debrief after the fire's been put out. They went, so firefighter Harbour, what did you do? Because we didn't really see you engaging with any hose work. There was certainly no going into the building to rescue people. And you went, I turned the tap on though, didn't you see that? I did that.
Well, when it comes down to putting out a fire, you've got, all those brave firemen who need to run into the burning building heroically and rescue people.
Yeah.
But somebody needs to be outside connecting the hose to the mains, don't they?
Yeah.
I'll be that guy, but I can still tell people I'm a very brave fireman.
Okay. Well, let's see what sort of personality you have. And I've got to say,
I'm nervous.
Wow, it's come back with something I wasn't expecting. Your dominant character trait is impulsive.
Oh.
No one would ever call you dull or boring. You live life by the... How's he got this from the answers you gave?
I tell you why. It's because it doesn't understand all the caveats that I had to every single answer.
It says you live life by the moment. If you decide you're going to randomly take a trip tomorrow, that's exactly what you do. If you decide to go shopping on a whim, that's what you do. You think life's too short to be indecisive.
That's so incorrect. I'll take it though. It sounds interesting. I had a little bit of a strange interaction with somebody recently.
Okay.
Basically, because of boring medical reasons and things like that, I haven't been frequenting my usual supermarket that I used to be in on almost a daily basis for about 8-9 months at this point.
Well, let's not go into why a medical incident would stop you going to a supermarket, but it's quite intriguing.
No, it's basically because I can't drive for the current
year. It's too far to go to...
It's laziness. It's laziness.
Pure laziness. Fair enough.
So I thought recently, I'm going to need to get all this stuff, and I could go to the one that's a bit closer, but then I have to go to that shop.
Surely your
impulsive
character trait would go, I'm just going to get up and go. Going to go.
Surprising, isn't it?
Wherever I want to go, whichever supermarket takes my fancy.
Surprising. However, I thought, sod it, I'll just make the slightly longer walk and go to the other supermarket that I used to go to. And I made the walk, made the effort, and I was quite chuffed that the staff had missed me, or at least maybe not missed me, but at least noticed I hadn't been there in a while.
I was gonna say, because when you say they miss you, I mean, did they have like a little banner up saying, welcome back, Ben?
No, sadly not. As much as I'd have loved that, that'd be great. But I went in and I saw one of the ladies who used to see me on a pretty daily basis, and she said, oh, you're back. And it, you know, it plucked at my little heartstrings. I thought, oh, I've been missed. That's sweet.
That's nice, isn't it? Yeah.
And she said, oh, where have you been? You've not been in here for ages. And I said, oh, boring medical reasons. So, you know, I'll be back soon enough. Don't worry. As soon as I get the driver's license back, I'll be back here on a more regular basis. And she said, oh, well, that's good. It's lovely to see you back. So I thought, well, this is lovely.
There's nothing wrong so far with this interaction.
And then she said, I'll take you off the dead list now.
Wow, they've got a dead list in Sainsbury's.
And at this point, I turned my back and taken sort of two or three steps away going for my shopping. And I turned back around and said, I'm sorry. She said, I'll take you off the dead list.
Wow.
And I said, the dead list? And she said, oh, yeah, usually when regulars stop turning up, such as yourself or mainly the elderly people, we just assume they've died. So it's a fair enough assumption, though, isn't it? Yeah. I'm 35. I mean, it's possible I could have dropped dead overnight, sure. But
well, the fact you can't go there for medical reasons, mate. Maybe they saw what happened last time you were there.
It was quite conflicting, though, because it was this lovely, we're so pleased to see you back,
yeah,
but then we'll take you off the dead list. Yeah, but I think it was a weird thing to say.
I'm not sure that needed to be revealed to you. That's the sort of thing they would do in private.
Yeah,
it's like I used to go in a pub, and lots of pubs do this, but they used to have like the celebrity death game where, you know, people would put up on a board. Yeah, they'd put up on a board who they think would die coming up. And that must happen in places like supermarkets and that sort of thing, where they sort of do talk about customers, because you don't think they would you? You just think, oh, they see so many people in a day. But when you've got those regulars, when you've got those people that don't suddenly turn up, they must think, I wonder what happened to him. We haven't seen him for ages.
I know, but it felt like I'd seen behind the curtain. It was like the end of The Wizard of Oz. I thought, well, surely this is your sort of inside banter in the shop between the staff. I shouldn't know that I was on the dead list.
You're on the dead list.
That's your little private in joke. You shouldn't spoil that to the rest of society. And it just made me think, maybe everyone is thinking and judging me just as much as I always thought they were.
I mean, what I'd like to know is whether, because I mean, the phrase, I can take you off the dead list, I'd like to know whether that's just her personal dead list or whether there was actually a discussion about it. You know, because they must have said, you know that guy used to come in every day, that they're all in the staff room, they're all having their cup of tea. That guy used to come in, we haven't seen him, do you reckon he's dead? Should we put, is he on the dead list? Like they, because in a way that's a nice thing to think that they talked about you, the fact they haven't seen you for so long. If it's just one person, that I mean, that just shows how bored they are, they're keeping their own personal dead list.
No, I got the impression it was a widely circulated idea of who's there and who's not. But to be fair, I think the last time I probably was there in quite a long time, I was carted away in an ambulance. So it's probably a fair enough assumption to make.
You were carted off an ambulance, they never saw you again. They would have just assumed. And, and sort of knowing what happened at the medical emergency, you were on the floor. They probably saw you collapse and thought, well, he's gone. He's finished. You know, I mean, basically they see you as it's a knock to their profits.
We should probably just clear up the mystery for anyone who's listening to this and is absolutely perplexed. I have epilepsy and I had a seizure, so after going about 15-20 years without one, it re-emerged all of a sudden, which was really fun. So I was in the middle of a supermarket, fell down, had a seizure and was carted off in an ambulance, so as a result can't drive for a year. Nearly there, getting there slowly, but yeah, it's nice to know that it was noticed and I made some sort of supermarket infamy.
It is like it is a sort of compliment, though, isn't it? It's sort of a backhanded compliment, because they're almost saying, I'm glad you're not dead. It's nice to see you. It's a sort of a nice backhanded compliment.
Yeah, I felt it was a weird thing. I felt missed, loved, confused, and then ultimately I felt noticed in life. I felt that, you know, even if I was to fall off the planet tomorrow, at least the staff at my local supermarket.
I mean, what a legacy that is, mate. I mean, honestly,
you would debate if I'd died.
You've set the bar so high. You know, a lot of us, you know, wouldn't it be great to be sort of known throughout the world for our deeds and what we've done in life? You're just like, well, those people in Sainsbury's will remember me.
I won't be remembered for my great humanitarian work or my efforts for charity or the globe. It'll be all, oh, he's not here anymore. That's about it.
But those sort of backhanded compliments and those sort of things, I mean, you get them quite a lot. Like you, I'm a tall man, I'm a large man. You get them a lot, don't you? Like, you know, what's it like up there? You know, all those sort of things about being tall.
Oh, yeah, all the usual things. Not to go back to my supermarket, but I'm often abused, I feel, by the elderly or the short who think I'm there to pass them things from tall shelves or high shelves. And you know, at the same time, I hate them, but also feel special at the same time.
Yeah, it's nice that they feel they can. You've obviously got a friendly aura about you that makes them think, ah, oh, he looks like that sort of chapel. Because imagine if they said, excuse me, dearie, can you hand me down those baked beans? And you went, no, fuck off. Imagine what sort of human being would you be if that was to happen? You can never decline.
It is what I'm thinking, but it's never what I do, but it's always what I'm thinking.
But don't you feel better after, like, just a little interaction like that? You think, I've made a difference today. I've done something that's made a difference.
No, I don't need that anymore. Now that I know I'm on the dead list, or, you know, a survivor of the dead list, I feel like I've made my mark in East Grinstead. The people will notice when I'm gone eventually.
Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, I've got a couple of recommendations for you this week.
What have we got?
First of all, a film that's on Netflix is called My Son. Why, My Son? Oh, My Son. It's a drama about a man who learns of his son's disappearance, and he's a bit of a guilt-ridden absentee father. So he heads to the town where his son was last seen to do all he can to retrieve his son.
It sounds a bit dreary.
It's a little bit like, it stars James McAvoy and Claire Foy, who I really like, both of those.
Is it set in the north?
It's in Scotland.
Yeah. I could smell that about the plot. It's
in the wilds of
depressing.
Scotland. It's all sort of in the wilds of Scotland, right?
I should say, by the way, just before I cause too much offence, I'm not suggesting
now,
for a
it?
Second.
You just Scotland. Said Scotland's shit.
No, I didn't.
Scotland's a fucking hellhole.
Alright, well, there's no going back from this. Sorry about that, everyone. Carry on, Trev.
Beautiful scenery, though. That's the main thing.
Stunning place. Lovely. Lovely people.
It sort of reminds me a little bit of Taken. You know, it's a father going all out to get their child back. It's a similar sort of feel. But I really enjoyed it.
Lovely.
And the other thing I'm going to recommend that's on Netflix. Now, I didn't think this was going to be my thing because it's a romantic thing. And I must admit, I don't do romantic things normally, but everyone's been talking about this. It's called One Day.
Okay.
And it's across 14 episodes, but they're only about half an hour each, so it's not too long. And it's the story of a couple who meet on their graduation night in 1988, and then it follows them every year when they sort of meet up around the same time. It's sort of their lives, but they've always loved each other, really, and it follows their story. And
sounds a bit soppy.
But no, it is quite soppy, which is why I didn't think it was going to be my thing, but I really enjoyed it.
All right, okay.
I think I might be getting a bit soppy in my old age.
Maybe it's just the leap year thing, mate. I wouldn't worry too much.
No, I found myself, yeah, because it's quite moving at times. You know, it's, yeah, I found myself having to wipe away the odd dewy eyeball.
What, wipe away your eyeball?
But, you know, scrape the tears from the eye. Anyway, it's called One Day. It's on Netflix. Everyone's banging on about it at the moment. So I think it does live up to the hype.
Nice.
If you're into romance. If you're not, don't bother. There we are. That's it. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on X. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.